Ancient World, Ancient Nukes. Episode 1, The Discovery, The Sands That Bear Witness. There is a sound of wind sweeping through a vast desert. The distant echo of shifting sands. Footsteps crunch over the dry earth. Beneath the endless expanse of this desert, under layers of history lost to time, a discovery lies waiting. Here, where the heat warps the air, an archaeologist, unnamed, unseen, unearths a mystery that defies the centuries. There are shoveling sounds, a brush sweeping sand away, and suddenly a metallic clink. The archaeologist, soft and curious, says, "What is this?" The sound of a chest or artifact being opened, revealing an old, unknown relic. In the hands of the archaeologist lies a relic as old as the pyramids, yet strangely out of place. Crystallized sand surrounds it, unnatural, far too smooth, reminiscent of the glass formed by atomic blasts. But this is far older and far stranger than the modern atomic age as we know it. The archaeologist exhales sharply, stepping back. Crystallized sand? But this is far too ancient. How could it be here? The archaeologist paces, then stands, surveying the horizon. In his mind, questions stir. Ancient legends of fire and brimstone, of cities turned to salt, of burning bushes that were never consumed. Could these relics be the key to a history forgotten or one purposely erased? The scene changes to an indoor research tent which hums with activity, filled with the low murmur of voices from other researchers and the soft rustling of paper. The clinking of teacups punctuates the ambient noise, while dust motes float hazily and lazily through the shafts of light streaming in from the open flaps. The atmosphere, though calm, is tinged with an unspoken tension as the weight of their findings hangs heavily in the air. One of the researchers is a tall, lean man with a calm demeanor, who stands near a cluttered table, his glasses perpetually slipping down his nose. He pushes them up again, staring intently at a sample of crystallized sand beneath a microscope. His dusty khakis speak of countless hours spent in the field, but his quiet intensity betrays the sharp intellect hidden behind his otherwise reserved nature. "So let me understand this," he says to the archaeologist. "You're telling me the sand's composition matches those found near Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But," he pauses, leaning back from the microscope and glancing at a worn artifact lying on the table next to it, "this artifact predates anything in recorded history by millennia." The words hang heavy in the air as if requiring a response, but no one offers any. The researcher straightens, his sharp eyes shifting to the archaeologist, who stands with arms folded, his brow furrowed in thought. The archaeologist, puzzled, says, I know, which is why it doesn't make sense." He hesitates, considering his next words carefully. "What if we're wrong about the timeline? What if we're wrong about everything?" Across the room, a second researcher, a petite woman with a no-nonsense attitude, is hunched over a stack of handwritten notes, her hands moving swiftly between the pages and an ancient artifact. Her messy bun of dark hair barely contains the strands which escape. But her movements are precise, betraying the quiet fire behind her expression. She frowns at the conversation unfolding, clearly skeptical of the implications. She says, "You're suggesting what? Sodom and Gomorrah? Biblical accounts of the burning bush?" She then raises an eyebrow, her voice cutting through the quiet like a sharp blade. "Those are just Bible stories." She looks up at the archaeologist, her piercing eyes challenging him to offer a reasonable explanation. The archaeologist meets her gaze, his own expression pensive but unwavering. Cautiously, he says, "Stories perhaps, but stories sometimes are echoes of the truth." He paces the length of the table. "What if those events were misremembered? What if they were something else entirely, something technological?" His words stir a quiet tension in the room, and the rustling papers once background noise falls silent. The distant clinking of teacups stops, and the first researcher looks up from his microscope, eyebrows furrowed in thought, while the second researcher, the female, slowly closes her notebook, her fingers still resting on the cover, as she processes the weight of his suggestion. A hesitant silence lingers, and an uncomfortable notion stirs. Could the ancient world have been more advanced than anyone ever could have imagined? Were their miracles our forgotten sciences? The first researcher pulls off his glasses, running a hand through his hair. He glances at the archaeologist again, this time with more curiosity than skepticism. And he says thoughtfully, "If that's true, then the implications are enormous. We'd have to reconsider everything, our understanding of history, of ancient peoples, even how we view human development itself." And the second researcher crosses her arms, still unsure but no longer dismissive. The look of doubt on her face has softened, replaced by something more akin to wonder. She leans against the table, her gaze flickering between the artifact and the crystallized sand samples. "But why?" she asks quietly. "Why would this knowledge have been lost, and how could they have possessed it in the first place?" The nameless archaeologist pauses, glancing down at the artifact. He runs his fingers over the surface as though it might give an answer. "I don't know," he admits. "But if these findings are correct, we might be in a position where what we thought was fact is more fiction than we ever imagined." The room falls into silence again, each of them lost in thought. Theories that were once dismissed as myth now hover on the edge of possibility, casting a shadow over the artifacts lying before them. The faceless, nameless archaeologist stands before the desert once again, the horizon stretching endlessly under the blistering sun. His mind is racing, filled with new theories, doubts, and possibilities. In his hand, the relic feels heavier now, a burden of proof waiting to be uncovered, yet weighed down by the implications of what it might reveal. The wind howls across the barren landscape, sweeping grains of sand into spirals. It is a lonely place, where the past seems closer than the present. The archaeologist grips the ancient artifact tighter, its surface warm from the heat of the sun, but cold with the mysteries it holds. His thoughts run wild, connecting fragments of history, legend, and science, puzzle pieces that shouldn't fit together, but now seem inseparable. If this is real, then what else have we misunderstood? Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by fire from the sky, but what kind of fire? And was it a fire of a nuclear nature? The burning bush, burning but never consumed, might it had been something else, something advanced. something atomic. And this sand turned to glass by heat beyond imagination. Was the history of mankind far more dangerous than we've ever been led to believe? The weight of this thought lingers, heavy and unsettling. The archaeologist's gaze drifts over the dunes, watching the wind dance across the surface, a constant reminder of how time erases all things. The wind picks up, swirling dust and grains of sand around his boots. It's as if the desert itself is trying to tell a story, whispering forgotten truths buried long ago. But suddenly, for the archaeologist, an overwhelming sense of foreboding fills the air. The landscape feels different, heavier, as though something ancient and malevolent stirs just beneath the surface. The artifact in the archaeologist's hands almost hums with energy, the hairs on the back of his neck standing on end. In this moment, a chilling realization dawns. If the great civilizations of the past fell to powers beyond their control, what would that say about the present civilization, his modern-day world? If the ancient world built on pyramids, ziggurats, and temples had unknown forces that they tried to harness, forces that could alter reality or perhaps destroy it, what happens when such forces are rediscovered? And could mankind be walking down the same path once again in the present day? The archaeologist's grip tightens on the relic. The weight of his responsibility sinks in deeper now. This is no longer about uncovering history. It's about understanding what was lost and why it was lost in the first place. He says, determined, quietly to himself, I have to know. I have to understand how this all fits together. If these civilizations fell to something that they couldn't control, then we need to learn from them. Those who can't understand and know history are condemned to repeat it. Perhaps the timeline we've been believing all along was never right. And maybe there's more to this than we ever imagined. His words flowed into the empty desert, carrying the weight of someone on the edge of a discovery that could change everything. A powerful determination grips the archaeologist as he imagines ancient leaders and scholars, Socrates, Solomon, pharaohs of Egypt, standing at the crossroads of knowledge and destruction as his own world is now. He takes a step forward, his boots sinking into the shifting sands as the horizon stretches before him, an endless sea of time and mystery. Every grain of sand seems to hold a fragment of a lost world, a fragment of truth waiting to be pieced together. The scene closes with the archaeologist standing alone against the vast desert, the relic cradled carefully in his hands, his eyes fixed on the distant horizon, where the mysteries of the ancient world await. The timeline is fractured, the truth buried beneath sand and legend. And soon the ancient world will rise again, but this time, the question isn't how it all began, but how it all will end.